So today is a testimony Sunday. And when you read the book of Revelation, the Bible says, and they overcame them by the power of the blood and by the words of their testimony. The greatest testimony we have to overcome the devil is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That testimony is the greatest testimony we can ever share. It supersedes any testimony we have in our lives. But beyond the testimony of Christ Jesus, we see a way paved for us to also be blessed in Christ Jesus. So in that light, we also receive testimonies. And it's good to share your testimonies. When the Lord blesses you, don't hold back. Share. Share your testimonies. Share. Someone will be encouraged. Don't always be a conduit and a carrier of bad news. You only tell people things when bad news, bad stuff are happening to you. But you never tell someone when you have a testimony. You every day, me, I don't have money. I'm always broke. But when someone gives you $1,000, you never open your mouth. You never say, oh, God bless me with $1,000. No. Let the joy of the Lord fill your mouth even through the testimonies. And in the light of that testimony, we are having two testimonies today. And the first person to share his testimony is Brother Mike. Please, a round of applause to Brother Mike, even as he comes. Please, you can do it better. You can do it better. Give a shout. Give a shout as well. Amen. Amen. So for those of you who don't know, Brother Mike is Brother Mike is the beautiful, handsome, amazing husband of Sister Florence. Where's Sister Florence? Wave your hands. Wave. Let us see you. Great. So Brother Mike, please be seated. We thank God for you. So kindly tell us about yourself. Tell us about yourself. Is the microphone working?
Hello.
Kindly tell us about yourself, big brother.
Okay, before I start, I have to appreciate my wife for this. Woo! Because when the call came for this testimony, I said no to Pastor Perry. And he called my wife. And she convinced me, but I also said no. Then, a day after doing our devotion in the morning, I had the inclination to testify. So I sent Pastor Perry a message that, okay, the Spirit says I should testify. But I did not tell my wife that I'll be here today to testify. So she doesn't know I'm going to testify today. So I want to say thank you to her for prompting me to testify. Back to your question. I'm from Ghana and born into a family of eight with five other siblings. So I'm the firstborn of five other siblings. The last one, I think, graduated from high school last month. So very young. And from a very humble home, nothing extraordinary, very simple life. Yeah, that's me.
And how did you get born again, Osofo?
Interesting. So right from the beginning, my mother, being the firstborn, I've always been with my mother. So, and she goes to a lot of prayer meetings. I'm carried along during the prayer meetings. So I can say I was born into a Christian environment. But it wasn't until about 13 or 14 that I actually gave my life to Christ. I was during a camp meeting, and I got born again. Not knowing, I wasn't born again, even though I was going to church with my mother. So it was during that period that I actually gave my life to Christ. And the same day, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it was that day. And I remember, I think I was around those period that I also read the Bible for the first time, whole Bible. So I think I took almost 6 months to finish the Bible during that period. So that's how I think I actually became a Christian. So from the early ages, I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't until I actually gave my life to Christ.
Amen. We can see a picture of you there.
Ah, you look very. I did not give this picture.
You look very young.
Okay, so let me give a brief background to this picture. This during my university days. I think it was the final year of my university, and the one to my right, it's the cousin of my wife.
What? Wow.
He's been my friend since high school. So it was through him I got
you
to
met
know my
your wife. Yeah. Wow. Don't joke with your friends. Maybe the person you are calling your roommate's brother might be your husband. So
I slept on the same bed with him for 4 years.
Wow.
And the one behind is the friend in Dubai. He's doing very well.
We bless God. We bless God. So how long have you been in China?
How did you get this picture?
Yeah, I'm an investigative journalist, you know. So how long have you been in China? And what have you been doing in China?
Oh, so a brief background. I came to China somewhere 2011 for a seminar. I used to work with a bank in Ghana, so I had the opportunity to come for a workshop for 1 month. Then I thought, this is not an impression I know of China, because coming to China, I had a very different perspective about the country. Then I spent a month here, and my view of the country changed. Yeah. So when I went back, I applied for a university in 2012. I had admission to Peking University, but the process went very bad, so I couldn't come. Then I waited 3 years later, and in 2015, I had admission to come to another university in Beijing for my master's. So that was the official coming to China, 2015, September. So last month was when I celebrated my 10 years in China.
10 years in China.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And within that 10 years, you've had your master's?
So I did my master's in Beijing for 2 years. Came to Xiamen University in 2017. Had my PhD in economics and finished in 2022. Went back for a year and came back with my wife to work here with an international school.
Amen. So that's your graduation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I remember 2017, I was browsing on Facebook. I was preparing to get married.
Let me give that. Yeah, so when the notice came for admission, I saw a list of names and lots of Ghanaians, but I only picked one name to check on. So I picked Pastor Perry's name, and I searched on Facebook, and I saw that he had already had his master's here. So I contacted him, and I said, are you familiar with this place, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, yeah, I'm also going this time. Then we met at the embassy for our visa. Nope, did not plan that. Then we met also at the airport, same time. We came together, we did not plan that. Then we met other fellow Ghanaians coming to Xiamen University. And at the airport in Guangzhou, we also booked a flight to Xiamen. We did not plan that. So everything was orchestrated by God just to meet him and have a nice time with him. It's been fun. Yeah.
He's been my next door neighbor. And he can attest that I don't sleep through the night.
Do you want to go there?
So sometimes I will be shouting and laughing. I love to watch comedy movies past midnight when I was single. Now I don't do that again. So I will be watching a movie and laughing, and I would hear someone banging the wall. Keep quiet! And that was him. And the funny thing was, when he approached me on Facebook, I thought he was a scammer. but I didn't know he was going to be a very good friend. So it's the Lord orders our steps and brings people our way. Amen. Amen. So in the light of all your 10 years being in Beijing, which university did you attend in Beijing?
Renmin University. So Renmin. They call it Renda.
Wow. Wow. It's one of the best universities in China.
Yeah, yeah.
And you moved from that and came to a better university. Xiamen University.
Of course.
Wow. And and which fellowship were you fellowshipping with when you were in Beijing?
In Beijing, so I was with the local church, Haidian Christian Fellowship.
Does it look something like this? I think I added a picture Of the fellowship. And what were you doing in the fellowship?
So, I joined the English session of the fellowship. I immediately joined the projection team when I got there the first Sunday. So when I saw the projection, I thought, yeah, they do very well. And I asked the guys in charge, how can I join this projection team? So the next Sunday, I was moved up there to join the guys who do this projection.
Can we see a picture of him behind the projection screen? That's him. And the funny thing was when... Pardon? No, don't ask me how I got the pictures. So the funny thing is, when he came to XICF, I think the first Sunday he came, there was an announcement for someone to help with media. And I think the next Sunday, I saw him seated serving in the media team. And it's amazing thinking that wherever he went, he found a church first. And he did not just find the church, he also found something to do in the church. Why is service important to you? Why do you like to serve? Because now you are serving as the deacon board chairman. You were first the financial manager for the church. Why do you like to serve?
I think as a believer, service is foundational to our walk with Christ. You cannot be in a church without serving. Just come to the church and warm the pews. It doesn't serve us, because we serve each other for the growth of the fellowship, Amen. For the growth of the kingdom. So I think it comes naturally to me, because when I was in the with my mother going to church every Sunday, I stay behind to help them arrange the church at the chairs after service. So when everybody has left, I will be with her arranging the chairs. So I think it came naturally to me. Also in the university, I joined the organizers team. Organizers team are those who go very early in the morning, like 5 a.m. to arrange the chairs before, go back to prepare, then the service begins. So I think service in the church of God is very, it's paramount to everyone. You cannot be in church without service. Mm-hmm. You cannot be in the church without service in any capacity. You don't have to be the pastor. Yeah, I'm a very shy person. I cannot be I'm actually shivering as I sit.
His legs are shaking. Yeah, I don't know if you can see it.
But we all cannot be the pastor. There are so many things you have to do in the church of God. So in any capacity that you find yourself, you have to put yourself in it, serve for the growth of the kingdom. Yeah.
And there's something you can do. Not everybody will be standing on the stage. I've heard several times the MCs announcing, we need ushers. We need ushers. We need ushers. Take the opportunity to serve. Don't wait. I don't know whether you are waiting for an angel to appear to you or what. Don't wait for something strange to happen before you serve. The media team is there. You can serve with the media team. The Sunday school kids are there. They need teachers. You can serve with the hospitality. If you like food, you can serve with the food department. It's amazing to serve. And being a master student, being a PhD student, I believe it was challenging serving. Now that you are married, I know there are challenges. How do you ensure you have a balanced approach to service? How do you ensure that you don't serve at the expense of your academics?
The Bible already says that a false balance is abomination.
So Proverbs 11:1.
Yeah. So I try as much as possible. I like working. The point is that I like doing a lot of research. So I don't want to overburden my life with research and leave the work of God. I don't want to also spend so much time on the work of God, neglecting my family. So I've tried to find a balance. Before marriage, I could spend so much time on my work. I do as much as possible, do everything I have to do with the work of God, but also find time to work on other things. And there was not enough balance. But after marriage, I've tried as much as possible to find a balance. First, committing to what belongs to God, my work, my family. But the work of God comes first, my family and my work.
So you mean, before you got married, your life was disorganized, but when your wife came...
You're putting it so... To some extent, yes. Yes. I have to appreciate
she
that.
She helped.
Of course. Mm. Of course. Marriage changes.
So you were one of those men who couldn't find your socks?
Oh, not exactly. I am a bit of a professional to some extent.
Oh.
But marriage has changed me to some extent. Really changed me.
Thank you, Sister. Where's Sister Florence? Are you hiding? Thank you, Sister Florence. I think one of the main reasons we ought to make sure we are balanced is so that we don't hurt people around us and end up hurting ourselves. We should know that we are connected to people, and if we live our lives in a bad way, it doesn't only affect us, it affects other people. Balance is very important. And the scripture he quoted, a false balance is abominable to God. Have a schedule. Put together a timetable. Don't spend all your time playing football. Don't spend all your time on Facebook. Have a schedule. Plan. Don't say that I cannot come to church because I have to study. If you had planned earlier, you would have ample time for so many things. Balance is very important. What is your favorite scripture? And beyond that, how can we pray for you as well as a church?
So I have a couple scriptures that are very dear to me. The first one is 1 Timothy 6:6 that says that godliness with contentment is great gain. I think I've lived my life with the idea that I'm content with Christ at any point in time. I don't struggle because someone has it and I don't have it. No. I know that I'm walking with Christ and he makes all things beautiful at his own time. So I'm not envious. I'll be very happy if you have it. I know it will be my time and turn very soon. If you have it, it means I'm also going to have it. So I'm very content. But I'm not content in a very passive way that I don't make effort to get something. Anything that I find myself doing, I put my best in it. So contentment doesn't mean that you are there alone, not doing anything. You have to be engaged in something, and God will add his blessing to it. And the last one is Jeremiah 17:9, which says that
the heart
of man is
deceitful.
And I'll add wicked to that, because the Bible also says that, and who can know it?
Yes.
Because even as I sit with you, I don't know what is in your heart.
Mm.
I don't know what you have for me. So if I depend on you, and I'll be putting my life in danger.
Yes.
So I'd rather put my life
in the hands of God
than in you, because man, I don't know what's in your heart. So I live with these two principles, and I think they've been a blessing to my life, and I work with them all the time.
Turn to someone, tell the person, don't compare yourself to others. Tell someone, don't compare yourself to others. You know, sometimes when you look at other people's lives, you feel like your life is stalling. Don't do that. The greatest way the devil steals your joy is causing you to compare your life with others. This is a picture of you in your school, where you work, with your colleagues at work, right? I can see you're very surprised at where I got the pictures. Yeah.
Because I don't post.
So you don't post? Yeah, I'm an investigative journalist. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so how can we pray for you?
First of all, thank you for the opportunity, and I wish that you pray for the wisdom and discernment for all the other things I'm doing in my life, my daily life, my work, my ministry, and my family, so that God's will be done in my life. Yeah.
Please, kindly step down. Brother Stephen, if you can join me and say a prayer. Sister Florence, please join your husband. Your husband has praised you a lot. Please step down and join your husband, even as Brother Stephen prays for him. Yes, Joyce, step down.
Let's pray for our dear brother and the wife. Father, we're so grateful for such a wonderful opportunity you've given to us to hear this testimony, which is meant to change our heart and mind towards you. We lift our brother into your hands, his family, his plans, everything that he has. You put things in perspective, which is eternal, that brings you glory. We pray grace over this family. May they really enjoy you. And may this testimony go a long way to transform hearts and mind of your children. We bless you for blessing them. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving our heart. Amen.
Amen. Please, a round of applause. We thank God so much. You have no idea how much of a miracle this is. Brother Mike doesn't like stepping up. He doesn't like showing his face. So he could only take the hand of the Lord to bring him here. Next, we have Sister Mary. Where is Sister Mary? Is Sister Mary Nizain Ali? Ah, Sister Mary, please join us, please. A round of applause for Sister Mary, please. Glory to God. Why are you laughing?
I'm happy.
You are happy. I'm coming to ask you so many questions you have not prepared for. I'm joking. So, Sister Mary, please tell us about yourself. Tell us about where you come from, how you got born again, in that sense.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I am Sister Mary, and you can also call me Sister Grace because my full first name is Mary Grace. So, I am the eldest daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Diaz from the Philippines. I'm from the south of the Philippines, Davao. I became a Christian since university days. I went to a university in my province. Not in my province, in another province. So, I went there and I joined fellowship, and someone invited me to join the fellowship. And from there, I went to the church community with the same people, and from there, I got baptized, and I know the Lord Jesus, and I got saved. Amen.
Beautiful. You are married, and you have a wonderful son. Akins, raise your hand. Let's see Akins. Wave. Don't be shy. Wait. So that's your wonderful son. Yeah. How long have you been in China? And what have you been up to in China?
I've been here since 2008. That's
2008?
Yeah, like 17 years ago.
So you've been in China for 17 years?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
I've been here and I was ESL teacher in the north of China, the coldest part of China. So from there... I went around China, and because of visa issues, I really like jump from one city to another city just to have a visa, because for non-native speakers, it's difficult to get a visa. Mm. Yeah, from that time. So I prayed to God that God give me a place to like really stay for long, and also for like to have a church and to meet some other Filipinos. So God heard my prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
And you also added that you prayed that the Lord should bless you with a city with clean air.
Yes, because my son has asthma. So the doctor said in my previous city, said you should find a city that has
clean air. And for those of you who don't know, Xiamen has one of the best air qualities all of China.
Amen.
Xiamen has one of the best air qualities all of China. And it's amazing how the Lord hears and answers our prayers. It's amazing how the Lord hears and answers our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, as you've been here, I think last year we witnessed that you fell ill, and the illness nearly cost you your life. And eventually we saw how the Lord healed you, even through medical doctors and whatnot. I think we have some pictures, right, of you in the hospital where you were you were unconscious for 3 days.
Yeah.
And your son, you and your son had lung issues, your organs were failing. Can you walk us through that stage of your life and how the Lord intervened?
Yeah, before that, we went to Nigeria.
We have Nigerians here, right?
We went to Nigeria. We visited our family in Nigeria. And we had already the yellow vaccine, the yellow card. Mm. So I didn't know that there is another vaccine for malaria. Mm. So when we go there, I am very, I have peace of mind that it will not really, we will not have the malaria. But we didn't know that the most severe species of malaria, which is Plasmodium falciparum, it really hit us, both of me and my son. So when we finish our vacation, we come back to China and we feel ill. We feel really our body is very painful and headache, high fever. We don't know. We don't know that feeling before. So when we came here, so it started, the symptoms really show that we have this kind of disease, but we don't know. The doctor said, okay, we don't need to, he doesn't really admit us because we have to be sure what kind of disease is that. So, you know, this land, it's really, they are very careful of admitting foreigners having that kind of, strange diseases. So when we went to the hospital, because my friend Atineri really forced me to go to the hospital, she said that you should go to the hospital, we should go now. So we went to the hospital, and yeah, another doctor accompanied us there, Dr. Chris. And when we go there, I really fell on the ground because I think the blood count is really, hemoglobin count is really low. So we went there. I just said, okay. The doctor just checked me. And after that, I don't know anything. We don't know anything again. So I just woke up after 3 days. And after 3 days, I saw my daughter. She's already in Xiamen. She's taking care of me. But in that, during that 3 days, I know that God never leave me. God never leave my side. And I didn't fear for myself. I fear for my small son. Because what will happen to him if I will die? And I talked to God. It's not like a long prayer, but I casually talked to him that, God, please, I'm not yet ready. I still have a lot of things to do. Especially to my small son. I'm not ready yet to die. So I think God really heard my prayer. Because after 3 days, I woke up. So that's it.
Wow. In the place of being fully aware of the sickness, how dangerous it is. How did you manage to find peace? How did you manage to not panic when you realize that, okay, I have this sickness. I don't know what it is, but how did you manage to still trust?
Yeah, during the last hour, the doctor said, oh, you have malaria. It's confirmed that it's malaria. So I did not panic because I know I have my God. I mean, God never forsake, never leave His children. I know that I have Him, and I know He will not let me feel ashamed to other, to the enemies, because I know the enemy wants to get my life, but he did not come victorious. I know God is always with us. Amen.
Amen. I think it's amazing when you think of the goodness of the Lord and how the Lord is able to keep us and sustain us.
Mm.
When we get sick, when we fall sick, the Lord heals us in different ways. Sometimes he heals us through prayer. Sometimes he heals us through the prayer of others. And sometimes he heals us through the hospital. I think it's very, very important for us to understand that whichever means the Lord chooses, we still give glory to him.
Amen.
It's very, very important. And in the bit of we giving glory to him, we understand that it is the mercy of God, it is the goodness of God that keeps us, that heals us, that keeps us strong. Amen.
Amen.
So how has this period of your life affected your Christian journey? How did it shape your faith after falling sick? Because I saw a picture of you and you were looking very yellow. You were looking very yellow, and they told me your kidneys were failing. And you were looking very yellow, and at the point I saw it, my wife and I, we were eating. And if I tell you what we're eating, you will not believe me. Do you know what we're eating?
Liver.
Chicken.
Oh.
And we're eating, and at that point we stopped and we just started praying. Because we're like, only God. And I spoke to a friend who is a medical doctor. She's a medical doctor. She was in Russia, and she came to Ghana. And she said, Pastor Perry, trust me. Sometimes we, the doctors, we don't know what we are doing. We administer the medicine, but we don't know if it will genuinely work. It is only the grace of God that will heal you, be it through prayer or through medical options. Trust the hand of the Lord. Trust the hand of the Lord to sustain you and to keep you. So please tell us, how did that shape your faith? How did that shape your walk with the Lord?
That kind of experience made my faith became stronger in the Lord. So from that time, I told the Lord that if you let me live one more time, connect my life longer, I will serve you. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. I will really do. Whether it will be sweeping the floor, the church floor, or serving some little things in the church. So I will really do it, and I will not disobey you.
Amen. You know, the funny thing is, before that situation, Sister Mary was very shy. She would come to church, and I remember she would sit here, and she would disappear very quickly. But after that situation, we all realized something different. She's literally the first to come to church. And the hospitality table downstairs, there are times I have to beg her, Sister Mary, there's a roaster, you know. Let other people serve. And she would say, no, 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 I'm going to serve. And I have seen her serve consistently. I've seen her appreciate the gift of life. I've seen her tell the Lord and say that, Father, I appreciate your mighty hand that gave me the opportunity to live again. You don't have to wait for something bad to happen to you before you decide to serve. Her story is different. Your story can be different. The idea of coming to church and just disappearing. I'm looking for a cartoon that disappears. But like Batman, you just disappear into the dark. Don't wait to make a vow. We are all different. Our lives are all different. But one message I want you to get today is that service to the Lord is beautiful. Service to God is amazing. Turn to someone, tell the person, serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord.
Shake the person by the shoulder. Tell the person, serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So please, what is your favorite Bible verse? What is your favorite Bible verse?
Before that, Pastor, I want to thank everyone, every members of the church that prayed for me during my lowest point in life.
You know, the Filipino community.
Yes.
Teacher Teresa,
Teacher Telly, all the Filipinos.
Teacher Teresa, Teacher Telly, All of them. I don't know why they were bombarding my phone. Pastor Perry, we need to pray for sister. And every day, one of them from Teacher Joyce, all of them will be texting me, we need to pray. So at a point, we started, I think there was a time of prayer. Teacher Teresa, everybody was praying for you. And at that point, I realized how important having a good community is. You are not an island. You need to have a good community. Don't be alone. You will need somebody. And again, don't wait till your darkest time before you begin to look for someone. God did not create us to be alone. He created us for community. So if you are here, you don't have anybody's WeChat, you come to church and you disappear like Batman, get someone's WeChat. Check up on someone. Join a small group. And I'm very sure it's going to be a blessing. Sorry for cutting you.
Amen.
So you said you wanted to say thank you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say thank you to all who prayed for me, especially Pastor Perry and family, Sister Teresa, Teacher Telly, Sister Telly, all the brethren of XICF, all our friends, and my boss in MXIS, who financially supported me so much. Amen. Thank you so much for everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
So, Vixens, kindly come. Let's go down. And Sister Juliet, kindly join us. We're going to pray for you downstairs. We're going to pray for you. So, Sister Juliet, please do us the honors.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Mary, Lord. Thank you for her testimony. Thank you for her faith and all that you did in her life, Lord. Thank you for her sharing this with us and how everyone was able to come together and surround her through prayer, because we realize how important the power of prayer is, Lord. Amen. We just want to give praise to you for her life, for her testimony in service and sharing and serving you, Lord, and how it's not too late to jump out there and to serve, Lord. But we just thank you for her light and for her testimony as she serves you, Lord, and she desires to serve you with all her heart. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, I just pray that will be contagious and spread through the church, Lord, as we also serve you in these areas, Lord. And we thank you for the life of her and her son, Lord. We thank you that you spared their lives, Lord, because we know that you have great and amazing things left for them to do. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this testimony and for their faith and for their life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.